33 will be one passage, and Psalms 14 will be another passage. We will read one verse in each passage. Psalms chapter 33, Psalms chapter 14. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Since they're just one verse each, I think we can read these together. They are familiar verses. Psalms chapter 33, verse number 12. If you have it, say amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. One more time. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And then Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34. Verse number 34. If you have that, it's just a book over, all right? Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34. If you have it, amen. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. One more time. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you again for your word, Father. And I pray, God, that you give me strength tonight, give me clarity, Father. And I pray that we have open hearts to the preaching of your word tonight, Father. I pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What can I do for America? That's a question I want you to ask yourself. What can I do for America? That's a question I'm asking myself. What can I do for America? The Bible says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 14, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The scripture does not say that a nation must have every person saved in order to be blessed of God. It says a nation is blessed who recognizes the Lord God as their God. That's what that verse means. It means a nation will be blessed who recognizes the Lord God as their God. There was a time that this nation, saved or unsaved alike, understood who created this earth, who has blessed this nation. It is God Almighty. Does not mean that the majority of the nation must be born again for this nation to be blessed. It says that righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness means to be right in a moral sense. In other words, it means to follow the moral laws of God. And America has just about done away with her moral laws. You know, we've got sex sin running rampant. We've got homosexuality all over the place. The Supreme Court just legalized gay marriage. I'll just call it queer marriage because it is not right and it is not just. And God will go ahead and judge. You know, this nation is just, you know, I got thinking about it this week, and I just got really, really burdened about our nation this week just thinking about it. It seems like every year. And by the way, I love America. I thank God that I'm an American. I love the United States of America. I thank God that I live right here in Carver, Massachusetts, in the United States of America. Amen. You know, and I say basically them same words about the same time each and every year. About July, I always talk about America a little bit and so forth and preach on America and how I love America. But you know, truth be told, it seems like we've taken a step down since last year. Just recently, again, the legalization of gay marriage. That's sick, by the way. It's disgusting and it's vile and it's wicked. It's an abomination to God. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. I love America, and though its glory seems to be diminishing, it is still known worldwide as the greatest nation on earth. So what made America great? Righteousness. What made America great? Righteousness. The doing of right. It lifts up a nation. It exalts a nation. To say our nation was not founded upon Christian principles is to ignore recorded history. For example, attempts are being made to wipe out the name of God from our foundations. Attempts are being made to try to wipe out God, if you will, from Christmas, from our holidays. Attempts are trying to be made to wipe him out of our public square. Attempts are trying to be made to wipe him out of our schools. And they've done just about that. We see the degradation of the public schools. The moment they took God out, there's been problems. Amen and amen. And we've seen what is happening as a result of pulling God away and snatching God away. Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, we were found, this America, our America, the United States of America, was found on biblical principles. As a Declaration of Independence was being signed, Samuel Adams declared this: "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising of the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." Boy, it'd be good to have our national leaders say that, say them kind of things again. Benjamin Franklin states in June 28, 1787, before the first Constitutional Convention, "In the beginning of our contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and graciously answered. We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." In the will of Patrick Henry, who gave the famous speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," he wrote, "I have now disposed all of my property to my family. There is one thing more that I wish I could give to them, that is the Christian religion. If they had that, and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had that, had not that, and I had given them the world, they would be poor." These were key founders of our nation. Abraham Lincoln said, "We have forgotten God." Think about this in his day. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined that all things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. Even in his day, he recognized that. Woodrow Wilson said this in 1923, "Our civilization cannot survive materially unless it is redeemed spiritually. It can be saved only by becoming permeated with the Spirit of Christ and being made free and happy by the practices which spring out of that Spirit." These are presidents of the past. Boy, you know what? Talking about Christ. Talk about the Spirit of Christ. Who can deny that when God led the pilgrims to this land, he favored them? It is a land of wealth. This land is a land of opportunity. It's a land of beauty. It is a land of unparalleled blessing. Truly, America is a nation that has been blessed by God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So what made America great? Righteousness. It's time, Christian, that we decided to live right. It's time, Christian, that we go ahead and hold up righteousness in our own lives. It's time that we put away those things that the Holy Spirit, you know, the things that the Holy Spirit zooms in on your life that he's trying to cut away to try to prepare you for a greater work, but you won't let him. You just give half of yourself, but you give a little bit of yourself. Hey, it's time for God's people to stand up for righteousness. What's bringing reproach to America? Sin. But sin, I hate that word. But sin is a reproach to any people. To say that our nation was not moved from its original foundation is to ignore reality. On November 30th, 1998, I love this prayer, and I've read this before, this particular prayer. A preacher by the name of Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas Senate in prayer. Everyone was expecting the usual political correctness, but what they heard was a stirring, passionate prayer calling our country to repentance and righteousness. This is my kind of guy, by the way. A preacher stood before the Kansas Senate and prayed this: "Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask for your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, 'Woe unto those who call evil good,' but that's exactly what we have done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn children and called it a choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will. I ask in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The response, from what I understand, was immediate. A bunch of legislators walked out during that prayer in protest. In 6 short weeks, from more than 5,000 calls were logged to this pastor's church, and only 47 of them, 47 was only negative. Paul Harvey aired the program on his radio program, aired the prayer on his radio program, and received a larger response to this program than he ever aired before. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As a whole, our nation is turning our back on God. You see it all over the place. Yes, it is harder today, unfortunately, to win a soul to Christ than it was 10 years ago. I believe that. We're too busy. Society's too busy for God. Society is too busy for the things of God. And unfortunately, even God's people have gotten a bit complacent. We get complacent with our church attendance. We get complacent with our Bible reading. We get complacent with our ministry. We get complacent with the things of God. The things of God isn't set priority as it once was. And as a result, we are losing our nation. You know, and again, I say if we're ever going to see revival in this nation, it's going to begin with you and me. I say it again, if we're ever going to see revival in this great land of ours, it is going to begin with you and me. But our nation is turning its back on God, who made the United States the great nation that it is. But thank God for the vocal remnant. Tonight we need some vocal remnants. We need some with some voices that will stand up for righteousness. We need some voices that will stand up for the old King James Bible. We need some voices that will stand up for the old-fashioned standards. We need some voices that will go ahead and stand up for truth and for righteousness. We need some voices that will go ahead and stand up and do the right thing on the job when it's so easy to go ahead and cower and follow the crowd. We need some men. We need some women who will stand up and live clean and pure. We need teenagers who will decide to have voices for the cause of Jesus Christ. We need teenagers who will rise up and be the God's leader of the next generation. Hey, we need some voices who will go ahead and stand for righteousness. According to the June 1998 report of a National Commission of Civic Renewal, led by former Drug Enforcement Czar William Bennett, the United States leads the nations of the world in murders, violent crime. This is 1998. This is some facts I got in 1998 now. Violent crime, imprisonment, divorce, abortion, sexually transmitted diseases, teen suicide, cocaine consumption, in pornography production. I give this 1998 stat because if it was bad then, where are we now? Listen, church, we haven't gotten any better. Don't misunderstand, I love America. I won't give up on her, and I'm going to stand for truth, and I don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody says. I'm just going to preach the word of God. I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm going to go ahead and stand for truth. I'm not going to find out whatever way the wind blows and try to soften my message and soften the message of the word of God, water down the message. I'm going to stand for truth. But and what we need is we need God's people to stand for truth. If we're going to go ahead and change this, and I do believe as long as there's a God on the throne, we can change these statistics. We can turn some things around. We can go ahead and see righteousness come back, and we can see people saved in our community, and we can see our family members saved if we would go ahead and humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. We live in a nation, for the most part, that does not value life. We live in a nation, for the most part, that doesn't value morality, that does not value the family. Oh, family values are lifted up high as important by politicians, but the family has been redefined to include immoral and God-debasing relationships. Homosexual marriage, you think of that. That's an abomination to God. They'll now go ahead and allow two lesbians to adopt a child, but you go ahead and you get a fundamentalist couple that wants to go ahead and raise a child and adopt a child. Boy, you've got to go through all kinds of hoops. God have mercy on us. And it's no wonder why our society is going downhill real fast. No wonder why we're going down in a spiral turn and heading downwards so fast we can't even see straight. Why? Because we've lost our moral judgment. We've lost our moral ground. We've lost our morality in America tonight. See, the things that are most valued is self-gratification. If it feels good, do it. That's a lie of the devil. If it feels good, do it. Self-gratifying. It seems like that self-fulfillment and self-realization, no matter what it takes or who is hurt. That's what's promoted in society today. Self-absorption. No thought of how our actions affect others. I, me, my mind, us four, no more. That's just the way it is. All about me. Well, we ought to be ashamed to know that the United States is the biggest exporter of pornography in the world. We ought to be ashamed. That is disgusting and it's vile. And we ought to be ashamed that the United States, so-called Christian America, produces over 90% of the pornography in this world. We ought to be ashamed that over 50 million babies have been aborted in America since Roe versus Wade. We ought to be ashamed that the body parts of aborted babies are sold for research and industry. We ought to be ashamed that our Supreme Court continues to uphold the brutal practice known as partial birth abortion and passing queer marriage. We ought to be ashamed that we are entertained by that which God calls evil, the music. Those music that does not help your mind, your spirituality one bit. That music that you pump into your brain where they'll promote immorality and sex outside of marriage and the disrespect and rebellion to parents and leadership and so forth and the boop 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 ta 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 whatever the case may be and all the junk that goes along with it and the music that kind of has your britches hanging way down over your ankles, if you will. Let me tell you something. Why don't you go ahead and get some good God's leadership in your life? Let me just say this. For those of you young people who like the way your britches down over your ankles, you didn't learn that from your deacon. You didn't learn that from your Sunday school teacher. You didn't learn that from your preacher. Hey, you know what? You know where you got it? You got it from Jay-Z. You got it from the rappers. That stuff to pump into the very mind that God gave you. That music that your teenager that you think is so great is out of the pit of hell. I dare you, ask God, what do you think of this music? We know what God thinks of it. You know what God thinks of it. But we ought to be ashamed to be entertained by that which God calls evil. The disrespect. The sex. But God, some of God's people pacifies it. It's not that bad. You know, it won't be long. Listen to me. You think some of that music, think some of the stuff that you watch on the screen there, you think some of that, you know, you start saying it's not that bad. You know, it won't be long before you're going to start thinking, well, some of the other stuff that I mentioned a few moments ago, it's just the way it goes in America. You know, that pacifist attitude is what is why we're in the problems that we're in. God's people kind of put their arms up like, what are we going to do? May I remind you that the God who created this universe is still alive? The God that breathed this world into existence is still on the throne. Do you understand that still he has all power to go ahead and change the course of this country? But we, in our own pacifist attitude and state, we say, well, it's not that big a deal. God's not going to do anything about it. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. Yes, there is something we can do about it. We can go ahead and get our knees in prayer and get our hearts right with God. Then he will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and will heal our land. Our nation is being spoiled by the armies of alcohol, the drug trade, the pornography producers, and the entertainment media. So what do we do? Well, I quoted this verse, and I'll break it down a little bit, but if my people, this is what we do, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I'll stop there a moment and pray and seek my face. This is what he'll do. Then he will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal our land. What can God's people do? The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, 17 and 18, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it is first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Listen to me. What can we do? Church, we need to humble ourselves. And stop thinking we're so high and mighty. We need a humbling of ourselves before an almighty God. Unfortunately, the churches have dropped the ball today. We've gone ahead and quit preaching to these 20-minute lectures. We've gone ahead and taken the old style music and changed it with a new style so-called music. We've gone ahead and changed the hours to summer hours. Not Sunday morning, not Sunday night, not Wednesday night, but you know what? We just meet one time on Sunday morning. We have a little coffee break, have a little prayer, and sing one little ditty of a song and one little sermonette, and then we're done for the week. How in the world can you survive spiritually with that kind of schedule? How can we go ahead and survive spiritually with not being able to have the availability to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and open up the Word of God and hear the unsearchable riches of Christ enter our heart to give us the stamina, to give us the strength, to give us the power to go out into that evil world and take a stand for Christ? How can we go ahead and live that way? How can we go ahead and take a stand with just 1 week? By the way, we've always been Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We ain't changing it. Amen. Amen and amen. But you know, the churches have dropped the ball. We've quit our preaching. We've left the old music. We've left the preaching services. We've watered down the preaching. We've left the old black book. We've left the fundamentals of the faith. What else is left? It is no wonder why we're in the mess we're in. It's time for God's people to humble themselves. It's time to think that we've got a hold of the world and so forth. It's time to go ahead and humble yourselves. It's time to open up the Bible, Christian. It's time to open up the Bible, Mama. It's time to open up the Bible, Daddy. It's time to open up the Bible, Teenager, and get on your knees and humble yourselves before the very God who gave you life, by the way. What can I do? What can we do? Bible also says in that verse we need to pray. We need to pray for forgiveness. Every single one of us, listen to me. You know, I'm not talking to any perfect person here tonight. Every single one of us, there might be some sin in your life, and you know there's some sin in your life, and you've not dealt with it. It's time. If we're going to see a revival in this land, if we're going to see America go back, and I still believe, and I think I'll believe until the very day I die or until Jesus comes back, I still believe we can see a revival in this land. I'm not ready to give up on this great nation yet. I will never give up on this great nation who has done so much for me and my family. You know, I'm not talking to any perfect person here tonight, and one reason why we will not see revival is because we will not seek the forgiveness of our sins. There's some here tonight, there's some sin in your life, there's some things in your life that you know are hindering God's blessing in your life. It's hindering the power of God in your life.
And God says, if we're going to go ahead and do anything for America, we need to humble ourselves and we need to pray and ask God for our forgiveness. I'm talking about that rock music. I'm talking about those things that you look at on the websites, on the computer screen, on the internet. I'm talking about that crowd that you run around with. I'm talking about those things that you might hide in your glove box, whatever the case may be. I'm talking about that drug. I'm talking about that alcohol that you think that nobody knows. Hey, listen to me. God knows exactly the sin that you're dealing with tonight. You're not hiding it from him. What can we do? We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray for forgiveness. We need to pray for God to search us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, the psalmist says. We need to pray for God to use us. We need to pray for our country. And not just our country. Pray for the leaders of this country. By the way, I think it was a week or so ago, I don't remember when now, but I preached on praying for our leadership. Yeah, we bellyache and about the different policies and this and that, whatever, but let me ask you a question. Before you continue to bellyache, when was the last time you took the name of our president or vice president or his cabinet or the Massachusetts officials that lead our state here? When was the last time you went ahead and took our governor to God in prayer?
Well, you know, they pass this. He doesn't line up biblically with this and so forth.
But you know what? Who is the very one that can go ahead and help them line up to this book? God, all power is given unto me. The very power that saved your soul is a very power that can save Barack Obama, that can save a Deval Patrick, that can save a Joe Biden, that can save whoever is leading this country. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. We also need to seek God's face. Find that place that you used to have. I'm talking about that closet. Talk about that place where it was just you and God every morning or every day somewhere. Christian, I ask you, teacher, bus worker, church member, mama, daddy, preacher, deacon, teenager, child, when was the last time you sought God's face? You say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm a Sunday school teacher here. Yeah, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you are. Praise the Lord. But I ask you, when was the last time you sought his face? I thought, but you don't understand. I studied this week. Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Praise the Lord. But when was the last time you really sought his face? When was the last time that you'd go just for a walk in the woods? And you know, nowadays you've got to shut everything off, leave everything behind. Just go for a walk somewhere. Just start talking to God. When was the last time, church? You see, we're not going to change America's direction until we go ahead and seek his face. Until we ask God for forgiveness. What does God think about what you're doing right now? I'm not talking right now. Yeah, he's pleased. But I'm talking about when you leave after a while. What does God think about you what you're doing? What does God think about what you're doing in that car when you turn on your radio? What does God think about what you're doing with all the screens that are made available to us? What does God think about the people that you hang around? My question is, are you seeking his face?
if my people, which are called by my name, and I'm one of them, and I hope you are too, shall humble themselves, pray. God, forgive me. God, be with our president. God, give him wisdom. God, if he's not a saved man, help him to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be with his cabinet. Be with our governors. Be with our leaders that lead this great land of ours. God, use me. God, I want you to use me. Use me as I go about my daily work and so forth, and use me to lead people to Christ, and use me in my ministry, and use me in my church. Search my heart, God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Pray. Seek God's face. And then turn. Return means repent. Turn from their wicked ways. Not the world. I'm not talking about the world here right now. I'm not talking about those that are out far hopping and doing things they ought not. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us. Turn from our wicked ways. Repentance means a change of heart that leads to a change of action, that leads to a change of direction. When one repents, they bury that sin and they don't return to it. You know, I'm talking about that sin that so easily besets you. I'm talking about that sin that the Holy Spirit right now is exposing, and he's trying to cut it out of your life, and he's trying to pull it out. He's taking his pruning knife to try to cut it away so that you become more fruitful. But you say, God, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to give that up. But you know what? He says, I cannot bless you until. And I want to bless America. I want to bless America. But our hearts must be turned from our wicked ways. If righteousness exalts and sin is a reproach, it's time to turn from our sin and return to righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. When we humble ourselves, God answers, whether it is the prayer for the salvation of our soul or the plea for God to deliver us or deliver our nation. Listen, church, listen. I love America. I'm not giving up on her. No way. Brother Hiles wrote a poem years ago. I love this poem. I read it a couple times over this holiday. I love Thanksgiving when we pray in July 4th and Labor Day with picnics, ants, and hungry flies, and barbecue and hot French fries, with Cokes and chips and apple pies beneath some hazy, lazy skies. I love Miami's royal palm that oozes forth a healing balm beside the ocean's quiet calm, and Betsy Ross and Orville Wright and dear Ben Franklin's flying kite, and Thomas Jefferson's mighty quill, and Alamo and Bunker Hill, and Paul Revere's Midnight Ride, and Wilbur Wright's Successful Glide. I love United's friendly skies, and baseball when the umpire cries, play ball, as thousands quietly rise to turn their moistened, sober eyes toward waving flag that proudly flies. And Casey Stengel's Stengel Lee's, and Dairy Queen and Tasty Freeze, and cotton candy at the zoo, and corny dogs and Big Macs too, and Burger Kings, and shopping malls, and hockey pucks, and basketballs. And Mississippi's cotton fields, and Holland, Michigan's spinning wheels. Monotonous Midwestern plains, Florida's sun, Seattle's rains. Atlanta's lovely dogwood trails, and Santa Fe's long clicking rails. I love the Rocky Mountain peaks beneath a sky which mutely speaks. And Disney World, and Disneyland, and Georgia's fertile blood red sand. The Mississippi and Rio Grande, Wisconsin's cheese and Dairyland. I love McDonald's chocolate shakes and Minnesota's Thousand Lakes. The Royal Gorge's mighty yawn, a sleepy Alabama's dawn. the harvest moon that shineth on. I love the gaze at Yellowstone while licking on an ice cream cone, and Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge, and Ford, and Chevrolet, and Dodge. I love the stately Empire State and San Francisco's Golden Gate. I love St. Louis' friendly arch, the Statue of Liberty's burning torch, the Washington Monument's prickly goad, and Colorado's Trail Ridge Road. I love my country, 'tis of thee, O blessed land of liberty. Long may our glorious land be bright with freedom's wondrous holy light. Protect us by thy matchless might. I love to stand with hand or heart and think of those who did their part, who left a mom, a lone gold star, whose bodies rest neath fields afar. I love New England's rolling farms, its quaint decor and blushing charms. I love the azaleas fresh in blooms, East Texas roses, sparkling plumes. I love it when my church choir sings and know the peace that worship brings. There beats within my breast a dream that small, faint, and flickering gleam will soon become a mighty flame to spread to all his matchless name. That those dear four who call me dad will know the country I have had, where freedom's flag flies proud and high, and those dear ones may loudly cry, I'm free, my dad helped make it so. That faint, small gleam is now aglow. The Christian land that he once knew is now the kind that we know too. God's judging hand has now been stayed, so I and mine are not afraid, for churches like our own abound in every city, village, and town. We're free to witness, visit, teach the same dear truths we heard Dad preach, and now we vow to God above to pass it on to those we love. Yeah, I get emotional about that. Because I want nothing. I want the same freedoms that I enjoy to be passed on to our kids here. Brother Robles, we're not doing what we're doing all this week just because we have nothing to do. We got plenty to do. But it is our lot in the life of this church to do everything we can to give the truth of God's word to another generation. And we will never, never, as long as I pastor this behind this pulpit, we will never tire of that. Never, ever, ever tire of that. The real freedom begins with that book right there. I love America. You know, the most patriotic thing that we can do for our nation is pray for her. We pray for mom and dad, we should. We pray for pastor, and we should. We pray for our church leaders, we should. We pray for one another, and we should. We pray for our young people, and we should. We pray for the unsaved, we should be doing that. But church, when was the last time you lifted the land of the free, home of the brave, the United States of America, to God in prayer? When was the last time? I pledge allegiance to the United States. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. And when was the last time you took our great nation and said, oh God, give us revival? And I know it begins with me, oh God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my thoughts, wicked thoughts. Forgive me of my direction. Forgive me of those that I run with. Forgive me of what I put into the ears you give me, in the mind. Forgive me, oh God. And bless our nation. Be with our president. Be with our military. Be with our leadership. When was the last time you did the most patriotic thing that you could do for our nation? and pray for her. God bless America. Teenagers, sometimes I know you think that some young people look at me like a mule look at a new gate. The things I preach, the things I stand for, just get used to it. To young people, you know, we're just going to keep on doing the same old thing around here because we care for you. And I so desire for you to have the same freedoms that I have right now. Listen to me. If we keep going the direction we're going, I believe there could come a time that we will not be able to meet quite like this. Now, I believe Jesus will come back. I personally think Jesus will come back before it comes to that. But let me tell you something. If we keep going down, listen to me. When I look at year after year after year, every July, everybody thinks of the 4th of July, Independence Day. Everybody thinks of that at this time of year. My heart is full and overwhelmed by the thought of living free in the great United States of America. But when I think of today, this July, compared to last July, I don't know if we've gotten any better. I don't know if we've gotten any better. Church, if my people, the called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. God, I truly do thank you for America. I do love America. And God, even as a preacher, sometimes it's hard just to continue to stand strong and everything that surrounds us and the temptations to go this way, that way. And I pray, dear God, that you give me strength to always remain standing strong for the truth of the Word of God. I pray we'll always keep our direction focused upon thee. I pray that our hearts, this church's heart, and the people of this church, our hearts will be pure and be right. I pray we desire to live righteously. I pray that if there's someone under the sound of my voice, there's some things in our hearts, no doubt, maybe many of us tonight, there's some things in our hearts that ought not be there. And we need to get in tune with thee. If we're going to see this great land have a revival again, it's going to begin with us. I pray, dear God, that you bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I really am not sure how to give an invitation tonight. Maybe you got to pray for our nation. Maybe there's some things in your life that the Holy Spirit of God exposed tonight. If you need to do business with God, the music's going to go ahead and play. The altar's open.